Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 100,000,
600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for two straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer at the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
As the sun rises over the Arabian Sea on the coastal city of Mumbai, the day is beginning for the 10 million people who live in the crowded city slums. The Hegre family lives in the Kalava slum in this tiny 10...
Start with what you have. God proves people before he approves them. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Yes, we all have fantastic dreams, visions, ideas. But to realize them, we must be ready to start with what we have, where we are. Yes, you have wonderful dreams. You have wonderful visions. But to realize those dreams and visions, you have to start with what you have, where you are. Many are stagnated and stranded in life, business and destiny, because they want to start big. Start small, think big, and grow bigger. God believes in people who humble themselves to start small. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it said, who has despised the day of small things? Small things are often despised. What is starting small? Starting small simply means starting from where you are or with what you have. The problem with most people is that they feel they don't have what it takes to start. Wise man said, if you can think enough, mentor said, if you can think enough, what you have in your hands is enough for you to start with. Hear this truth. God will never allow you to get to the point where he has nothing with you to move you to the next level. There will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. I said there will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. All you need to do is to discover it. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7, a woman was highly indebted, and Elisha said to her, what hast thou in thy house? Initially, she said nothing, and later she remembered that she had something, and said, save a pot of oil. So I ask you, what is in your hands? Don't be afraid to start with what you have. Hear this truth? Nobody climbs the ladder from the top down. People climb the ladder from down up. Refusing to climb from down up, it means you want to die early. Because the only thing that starts from the top is the grave. Only grave, you start from top to down. Every other thing, you start from down to up. To say that, no, I don't believe in small starting, you are saying you want to die quick. Many are stranded because they don't want to start small. They want to start big. Nothing wrong dreaming big, but it's wrong when you're waiting to start big. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, he said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So everyone has something to start with. May you start with what you have from today in the name of Jesus. Growth is a process, not an accidental occurrence. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, Job chapter 8 and verse 7, it said, though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end shall greatly increase. Though you start small, God said your end must go up. May everything you start from today grow in the name of Jesus. Just the way you came and you have seen how God has moved us in 20 years. That's how the world will be surprised at your life the next few years from now. 2 years from now, everyone will be amazed at the lifting hand of God over your life. The louder your amen, you have a testimony. He said, though your beginning may be small, don't despise it. Start from there because your end is short. You can start as a janitor. Very soon you'll be a jet owner. You can start. It's only in the kingdom of God where men can start as janitors, what you call garbage carrier, and yet tomorrow you can be a jet owner. It's only in the kingdom of God such things happen. Your story shall be bigger than what I've shared now. Louder, amen, you have a testimony. Jesus did not despise 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't say it was too small. He had to perform the miracle with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed thousands of people. Despising what is in your hand is to stop the miracle of the future. In John chapter 6, start with what is available. Stop looking for what is not available. Starting small is a proof of faithfulness. If you look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:21, it said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I make you ruler over many things." It is allowed to talk great, but start with what you have. Every business was once small. Every big business was once small. In the book of Mark 4:30-32, and he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Most great businesses today were in small corners, but very soon that your business will become a The Almighty God started the entire race with one Adam. Today, we have over 7 billion people. To say you will not start is to say you don't want to be great. Hear this truth? And hear me well. Starting small does not connote that you don't have a dream. Starting small is not faithlessness. It is faithfulness. Borrowing to start is an evidence of lack of faith. Start with what you have, and God will do the rest. Say here. Don't stress your life by wearing an oversized coat. If you fold the hand, you may not be able to fold the back. Try to borrow to start something, you may put yourself under pressure. Obstacles to starting small. Obstacles to what? Why many people cannot start small? I'll tell you obstacles to starting small. This ministry started from one room. From what? From one room. We were living upstairs and the church was in the parlor. My wife and I, we had foam. Many people are seeing us today, they are wondering. We had our foam on the floor, pot on the floor, kitchen, the same room, the next room, about that thing again. The other room, Pastor Charles and family, downstairs, church. That's how we started. I think we saw the canopy. One day rain fell. And our heavens opened. The thing blew the canopy. We are holding the canopy so it will not fall. I say, be under an open heaven. Amen. If we say no, we will not start until we start like the cathedral, we would have died since. That was the dream, but we had to start somewhere. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Shout hallelujah. Look at the picture here. Look at this. See where this was the canopy. This canopy, one day rain fell. See how I was looking that time. I think I was still 33 going to 34. So you look how I look. I used to have hair. I don't think I never had hair. Plenty of hair before. You find out where the hair has gone to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Obstacles to starting small. Number one obstacle is pride. Is what? Pride. Many would have started by saying, look at me at this, my level. Which level are you? In James 4, verse 6, if we give him more grace, wherefore he said, God is there to pride and give grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5. Pride is overestimation of self. Many would have said, bala, bala. I can stand that way. Not me. You know where I come from. I can stand that way. That's why 5 years now you have not started what God told you to start. Number two obstacle is despising the little. Despising what? The little. Despising the little. If you look at Matthew 25, 24 to 25, Jesus gave a parable. The man with the one talent despised it. He said, what is this? This one talent. My friend, nonsense. The seed you are despising, in that seed is a tree. And the tree is a forest of trees. And the planting of trees, there are many seeds. One orange seed you despise, in that seed is a full tree. And the tree is fruits of oranges. And on that, you have plenty of them. So when you despise the seed and throw it away, you have actually thrown away a forest, a plantation of orange trees. The man with the one talent looked at it and said, what nonsense is this? That's the meaning of all. What is this 5 naira? 5,000? Nonsense. What do you mean 5,000 save? Nonsense. What am I going to do with 5,000? That's why nothing has happened. Number three, why many obstacles to starting small? Not being realistic. Not being what? Not being realistic. Be truthful to yourself. Avoid self-deceit. The prodigal son, the Bible said, came to himself. He came to what? Himself. And told himself, look, this is a prodigal life. There's no point deceiving myself. I knew that there's no way I would get money, so we started with what we have. I didn't say, I've been sleeping on bed, therefore, as we came to Paragon, I must sleep on bed. No way. I was realistic. We slept on foam. The chair was bent. I didn't use upholstery to 2001. One day, a member came to our parlor and saw no chair. He said, Pastor, no chair. I said, make us to lie down in green pastures. I said, if you want chair, you buy. Don't bother me. Am I not anointed? What's your problem? The first chair we had was 2001. The man came, you know, chair. I said, sit here now, my friend. He said, am I not your pastor? Who pray for you to be a millionaire? And he said, Papa, Papa. So the next day he came, he brought chairs. I was truthful to myself. There was no point giving myself stress. So I hear. God said, preach how you started. So I'm telling you the truth. All the balloon dreams you have without results can lead you to frustration. Start now. Tell yourself the truth. Okay. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to start with 50 million. Where will you get the 50 million from? Be realistic. You have 5,000. Start with it. I have a proposal. My idea is to start with 1 billion. Where will the 1 billion come from? Where will it come from? Be realistic. You don't have 1 billion. So why are you posing? Don't pose so you won't decompose. I have a fantastic dream. 5 years, you have been having a fantastic dream. And it has not been fantastic. It's not cocistic. So be truthful to yourself. Be realistic to yourself. We didn't use microphone until our first anniversary. And the first anniversary, if you see the microphone, it was a speaker that the member built. You know when he said, praise! You went, toop. You have to wait for the speaker to release it. It was built by a member. We are realistic. Well, if you shout, your voice will be higher than the microphone. The speaker, so when I say praise the Lord, you have to come because the speaker will cease. Then when it goes back, you say amen. But we are realistic. We are what? I never borrowed a member's car to drive since this church started. I was realistic because if I borrow a member's car to drive tomorrow, how will he call me? I've never driven any member's car. As a principle, because you can carry me in your car, but I will never borrow your car. I was realistic. I don't have a car. Carry me. If you don't have, I take my taxi. One day I entered Okada to come here. My wife and I traveled to Lagos. I think we're go hold up around the Rumola. So I said, my wife, you've been the taxi. Let me go. So I stopped machine and I enter Okada. And they were waiting for me at the junction. I passed them. They knew I was coming from airport. So they were waiting for me. I was in Okada. I got here. They said, come on, don't enter church. So I was here. They didn't know when I passed Okada. It didn't move my status as a pastor. That you enter machine, does it change you from a pastor? Be realistic. You what? I'm seeing myself today. I've never lived a fake life. This is me. God said, preach what you know, you are past. Start small. Number four. Procrastination. Pro what? Procrastination. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. That's the meaning. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. Many of us would have started, but tomorrow is the yesterday of today. Yesterday is said tomorrow is already today. Next one. So in John chapter 9 verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. He said, walk now while it is time. What does do it? Do quickly. You have been saying for 3 years, you go to school. Go now. But for I want to go into international business. Passport, you have? No. Have you got the visa? No. But one day, I will fly from globe to globe without passport. Amen. Stop saying tomorrow. Do it. Whatever you want to do, do it now. If it is school, attend it now. If it is business, start it now. Stop looking for what you don't have. Use what you have. Start here. He said, that do it what? Quickly. Shout hallelujah. Number five, obstacle to starting small is comparison. Is what? 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You are who you are. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't compare yourself with anybody. The reason many of us have not even wedded is because we are trying to do our wedding like somebody else. Are you hearing me now? Start your business. Don't copy. If a man is using a watch of 1 million naira, your own is 100 naira. Watch is watch. The time is the time. If you have the money, buy. If you don't have the money, don't go and kill yourself. So see the kind of shoe you wore, silk man. You must buy that shoe. Before you, hypertension is simply hyper plus tension. Hyper plus. And because of the things we are giving ourselves, the tension we are giving ourselves, that's why many people are going over hyper. Hyper is simply hyper. Compound word, hyper together is hypertension. When you allow your life to have what? When you go hyper and then there'll be tension. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Don't compare yourself with anybody. I've never bothered about what anybody is doing. I've never asked anything where anybody is preaching. We are thankful for what God is building, but I've never seen anybody's structure say, I want to be like this structure. I don't worry about myself. I don't know how much any suit costs. I used to wear a coat. There are different between suit and coat. You know coat? Suit is different. Suit is different from coat. Where we started one day, I had one brown suit. I can tell the picture of the suit. You know, there's somebody you wear a particular thing, you know how the thing look like. It's over 17 years, but I can tell you how the suit look like. So one day, I wore the suit to a point, the suit got tired. So I took it to washerman, not laundry. And after they finished the suit, the hand was like this. This one was like this, this one was like this. So I looked at the suit, and I said, how do I wear this suit to church? One was short, one was long. I said, they dry clean it at all. I said, yeah. So I said, come, if I wear this, the church people will be confused. So Pastor Ajinike said, "Papa, give me, let me wear." So as Ajinike, when he get to church, when they say, "Praise the Lord," make sure your hand is up, so that no member will be confused. So that they will know that the thing is short and long. I say, if don't keep your hands like this, make sure you'll be doing like this. Praise the Lord. I didn't compare myself with any, but it was coat. I used to wear coat. My wife and I have gone to buy 2,000 naira coat at the kitchen. I will be in the shop, she'll be outside. I said, "Look well, let nobody see us." She has been my best friend from that time. She'll just stand there. I said, "My husband, oh yeah, price, let's go." Amen. Don't worry your life, my friend. Are you going to say that? Don't compare yourself with anybody. Today, with all humility, I give out suits like you give out sweets. So don't compare yourself with anybody. Start from where you shout hallelujah. Benefits of starting small. Benefits of starting small. What are the benefits? Number one, you develop strength. You develop what? If you look at Adam, Adam did not start small. Adam started as a full-fledged mustard man. That's why he failed. He came as a full-fledged man. He did not grow, so he failed. Jesus started and grew. He said, "And the child grew." Luke 2:40. "And was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God was upon him." He grew. So he developed strength. He developed what? Because he grew. He didn't come in like Adam. He grew. David grew from killing the bear, the lion, and later Goliath. When you start small, you develop what? Strength. Number two, benefit of starting small is that it eliminates wastage. Eliminates what? Wastage. Jesus, because he started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he said, "Gather the fragments," John chapter 6. He didn't waste them because of how he started. He never started small. Never started. Have you experienced that? People you hand over business to who didn't start small, they are the highest wasters. Just hand over a business to a man who does not start from scratch, he will destroy the business. Because he did not grow. So to him, that is how life should be. You tell him he will buy a car when he's supposed to be using a machine. He will buy a jet when he's supposed to be using a car. The highest wasters are people who never started small. It eliminates what? Waste. John 6 verse 12. Number three benefit, you overcome challenges easily. You overcome challenges easily. If you watch me and watch this church, because we started from one level to another, challenges are not moving us through. God told me, after Daniel was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. After Joseph was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. After Jesus was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. So, false accusation is another level. Are you hearing me now? But if I've never faced challenges, it can weigh you down. It makes you don't panic. You know what? Panic. You overcome challenges easily because you have gone from one level to another. Say here. You overcome what? Challenges easily. Number four, you gain experience. You gain what? Experience. You gain experience. You can, that, because you have grown, experience is there. Because you can handle one level to another. You gain experience. Check men who are small. They can tell you they are a wealth of experience. They say, "No, I started with one block, from one block to 2 blocks, from 2 blocks to thousands of blocks, from blocks to blocks." But the man who has no experience, It is as small. So I hear. Let me close on this note. Many know how to start small, but they don't know how to make the small become big. That's where I want to close. Many can start small, but they find it difficult to move the small to big. We started small, but we are no longer small. That's where I want to close. How can you start small and take the small to big? Many can start small, but they are still small. After 20 years, if you have come back after 20 years and see you on plot 35, that would be a disgrace. True? Say from plot 35, my wife and I one day came to church. I will never forget that day. I finished service in less than 12 minutes. Preaching, opening prayer, praise and worship, everything, 12 minutes, service was over. We came like this, only my wife was the adult. All the rest were children. When I say praise the Lord, she will say amen. I said, my wife, if it's like this, how many years will we stay on earth? I finished everything in 12 minutes, service was over. Now, you can imagine if we are still at that level till now. Won't you call us? Will you come here? How can you carry the small to big? Apply the principle of John 3:16. Apply the principle of John 3:16. I'm not going to teach the same thing you think I taught. You say, yes, I know it already. It's a lie. What is the principle of John 3:16? For God, shall we go together? Let's read together. For God, that he gave, that whosoever should not, but have. This is how you start the small to because to make it big. Number one, God so loved the world from the beginning of your small starting, have a global dream. Let your dream be the globe. Let your dream be the globe. For God so loved the world. He came with one son, Jesus, but his dream was the entire globe. You are starting from one room, but let your dream be the globe. Ted Turner, the founder of CNN, started from one room, but his dream was the globe. The founder of CNN, his name is called Ted Turner. Ted Turner started from one room, one small room. But CNN today is the entire globe. While you are starting from one small point, let the globe be your dream. God started with one Jesus, but for God so loved the world, he didn't love only Israel. Jesus was born in Israel, but his dream was the entire globe. So when you are starting small, from the beginning, dream the globe. We started with NTA, Port Harcourt, but my vision was the globe. Today, I'm talking to people around the entire globe. Nothing wrong starting small, but dream the globe from the beginning. Number two, when you dream the globe, it says, whosoever believeth, there is nothing in this kingdom that can walk without faith. Whosoever believeth. So you must have faith. You must have what? Faith that the small can become great. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. Must what? That is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Your faith decides your future. Faith comes by knowledge of the word. Is that true? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So number three, now that you have faith, don't just have faith, go for knowledge to increase your capacity. Go for what? Knowledge to increase your capacity. Jesus came, but he grew in wisdom. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God, and remain. He grew his capacity. For you to take the small to big, grow your capacity. Grow your what? There's a principle called the law of lead. Look at me here. The law of leader or president on this principle. Look at me. Every executive, whether church, business, family, any institution, this is you. The head. This is the organization. The organization will grow to meet you. Anywhere you stop, that's where growth stops. I come again. Whether president of a nation, head of a parastatal, head of ministry, this is you and this is the organization. Every organization grows to meet you. The day you stop growing at the head, the organization will stop growing. No organization grows beyond the man at the top. If I stop growing, this church will stop growing. If there's no growth in your family, the head of the family is no longer growing. If a nation is not growing, the head of that nation is not growing. If the church is not growing, the pastor is not growing. If your business is not growing, you are no longer growing. So you grow. He said, this family is not growing, the head of the family is no longer growing. So you increase in knowledge. Increase in what? You can only take, the man said, I have 5 talents, but I've multiplied 5 other talents. That means increase his capacity. Many of us are praying, but we have not increased our capacity. Character without capacity will still limit you. Many have character, they are holy, but no capacity. No sin, but no capacity. You must live a righteous life, you must also have capacity. Are here. Number 4. It says, shall not perish. Shall not what? Shall not perish. That word, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 9, verse 18. In order not to be stripped of honor and dignity, you have to be prayerful. No small thing can become great if you are not prayerful. If you are not what? Because they say, I said before you an open door, but there are many adversaries. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9. So to clear away the adversaries, for you to advance, you must pray. You must what? Because forces of darkness will contend with you as a child of God. So you must be prayerful. You must be what? Prayerful. You must be prayerful. Number 5. For God so loved the world, he gave. What did he do? He gave. What did he do? He gave. He gave. He gave. So if your small business will be great, you must pay your tithe correctly and give offering properly. You must be a giver. If you are not a giver, you'll be limited in your growth. God did not just wish. He gave. Every man that would take small to big must be a giver. Must be a... For God so loved the world, he gave his best. He gave what? If you give trash, you can't get treasures. You can't give trash and expect treasures from God. It's not possible. If you want treasures, then you must give treasures. God so loved the world, he never gave in Michael. He gave his best. Businessmen hear this. The reason most businessmen have not been able to take small to big is because they give trash. They give what? Yeah, they're expecting treasure. Shout hallelujah. When we are small, I'll share this testimony because I'm about rounding off. Many times, even churches say, look, we are small ministries. Nobody's trying to help us. We are very small ministries. Nobody, all the big ministries cannot help us. We never went to any big ministry for help. We sold into the big one, and the big one took us up. You don't go to big places to help for help. You sold to the big ones for their grace to answer to you. Number 6, pay the price. Pay what? The price. Pay the price. The quality of the price you are willing to pay determines the quality of your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Finally, for God so loved the world, it's not possible to ever succeed if you don't have love of God. For God so loved the world. It was love that moved him to give. So the foundation of anything you are doing is to love God and love what you are doing. Love God and love what you are what? If you don't love God and you don't love what you are doing, you won't succeed. Love God, number one, and love what you are. Anything you don't love, if you don't love teaching, you will never be a great teacher. Are you blessed tonight? Well, this is the story for 20 years, and you will have everlasting life. Everlasting what? That is salvation. No matter you do, if you like, get the whole world, and if you lose your soul, you have lost all. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? So after all said and done, make sure you have heaven as your focus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So the ultimate is that you don't miss heaven. Rest your feet. Start with what you have. God proves people before he approves them. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which...
According to 2017 tax returns in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh my gosh, you know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million your income because it is that important to make that kind of money today because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the valuetainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million your income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one has the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50 cent, half a dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million your income, there's so many different ways they can break down the math to make $1 million your income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million your income, because you got to know the formula on how to make $1 million your income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month, times 12 months, you're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now, you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, if you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250, if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut, you need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get five people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make four of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need eight sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need two sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission is $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need five real estate agents per month that make two sales a month for you at $500,000 to make 90 grand a month. Or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1,008,000 per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm. This could be an IT firm. This could be a consulting firm. But the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me. You say it's going to be around 300 hours. 300 hours times 150 hours, $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT, they sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75, that means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with seven consultants. If you have seven consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh, this is all I need to do to make $1 million income. What do I need to do to make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know a lot of smart, intelligent, logical people with four-year degrees who, you know, mastered calculus, pre-calculus, who have this down, but they have problems with this next part. And by the way, this is 20% of the work. This is 80%. Let's get on to the emotion side. So here's the emotion side. On the emotion side, you have multiple different areas. Let me start off with the first one here. And this is by far the biggest challenge people have, and that is belief. In order for somebody to make this kind of money, $1 million your income, you're not going to make it if you don't believe it. So you say, well, Pat, how do I get a chance to believe this? I never, in my wildest dreams, nobody in my family made this kind of money. I've not been around people that make this kind of money. How can I make this kind of money? Here's the kicker. You need to master the art of future truth. Now, what is future truth? A lot of people have a hard time with this. Let me explain. So imagine if you have a lot of doubt. You don't believe in you, right? You're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is great, but me making $1 million income, I don't know about that. Yesterday I had 60 people here in my office, and I said, what is the big deal about making $1 million income? You should have seen some people's faces. Well, I don't really know if I'll ever make it, but it's kind of cool to dream about having a big house and the cars and the freedom and a few million in the bank account, but I don't know if it's for me. That's because they don't believe in it. That's because they don't understand the concept of future truth. Let me explain to you the future truth concept. Some of you may have never heard of future truth before. Here's what it is. If you're going to lie about you, you may as well tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over again. Now, at first, it's very difficult. Let me describe this to you before you get uncomfortable. For instance, I am going to make $1 million a year income. Now, I want you to say it. Say it to me real quick. Stop. Say it. I'm going to give you a second. Say it. I am going to make $1 million your income. Say it again. Perfect. Let me ask you, was it uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're lying to yourself, right? Sometimes people say, well, Pat, I kind of was weird. I feel like I'm lying to myself. If you say, I am amazing. I'm meant to do something big with my life. I'm the guy that's going to go out there and be the hero to my family. That's difficult for some people because they're lying. But it's a current lie, but it's not a future lie. It's a future truth. It is a current lie, but it's a future truth. You see, the more you tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually believe it, future truth is you're going to make $1 million your income. This is a belief system that is very difficult for most people to do because most people think every kind of lie is a bad lie. No, I'm not telling you to go lie to your wife about some things you're doing on the side or lie to your husband about what you're doing on the side. I'm telling you, tell a good lie. I'm going to make a difference in the world, and you don't believe it. But say it a million times, you're going to end up believing it. I'm meant to do something special in my life. There's no way in the world God put me on this planet to just be a regular guy. No way. The blood in here is boiling. I want to do something big with my life. This guy was put on this planet to make a difference. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Convince everybody in the world. The entire time you're just trying to convince one person, and that is you. And that's the game of future truth. And for some of you that are making $4,000 a month for the last 20 years, you really need to start lying to yourself. You, I'm talking to you. You really need to start this moment, start telling a lie to yourself on how special of a human being you are. Over, and don't expect anybody else to do it. For instance, when you say, honey, I wish you would have told me more nicer things. Mom, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Dad, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Don't wait on them. Start with you. Number two, perspective. Here's what I mean by perspective. Sometimes you need to make the big small. Did you notice how I started the video and what did I say? I said, according to last year's tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million your income. I said that. Then what did I say? Total amount of people that have climbed Mount Everest is how many? 4,000. That perspective to you made the big small. You need to do that over and over and over and over and over and over. And over again until like, why am I thinking this is such a big deal to make $1 million your income? It is not because you finally got perspective. you put things in perspective, and you're over and over and over and over again making a big small, 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 until eventually you're like, oh, this is not a big deal. We're going to do this as well. Number three, question everything. Everything. When your mom and dad say something and it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, it's hard to, not everybody's going to make millions. Honey, it's not us to make millions. Don't sit there and let them say it. Stop them. Listen, mom, I don't believe you. Dad, I don't want to believe you. Bro, I don't want to believe you. Dude, I'm not with you. I don't want to buy into that concept. Say it to them. Question them. Challenge them. Don't let them get away with it by saying it around you, because if you sit there and you don't question that thing, that means you bought into it. That means you believed it. You got to question the stuff you tell yourself. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. Is that even true? I don't believe you. You to yourself. I don't believe what you're saying, bro. I don't want to believe you. I'm not buying what you just said right now. Question every single thing. Why do I believe this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I wired this way? Is that thinking even right? Why do I even do this? We had a meeting last week with my staff. This is a different meeting than yesterday. Yesterday's was sales. Last week's was staff. And one of our employees, they were required, every one of them was required to read the book Principle. And if they didn't read it, some of them were going to get fired. And, you know, we had the meeting. And I know some people had, this is harsh. Look, there's a few things with me. I may look like a guy on video you like and all this other stuff. Working with me on a daily basis, the expectation and standard is here. I expect you to perform. That's the reason we create an incredible environment where people love being around. But the expectation of performance is very, very high. And the pressure is very high to perform, work, and improve. If you're the same person every 3 to 6 months, you don't need to be in this company. You need to go to a different place. So I was speaking about this. And one lady said, well, you know, in this book, what I took away from this book was the fact that I think sometimes in companies, the executives need to understand that everybody's different. And not everybody, you know, does this and does that. I said, ma'am, stop. I said, did you even read the book? No, I didn't read the book. I said, why is it that the first thing you got out of the book is how you can fix everybody around you instead of how you can fix you? You see, the only way your income's going to grow is by focusing all the things that you got to do on you to improve. If you fix you, everybody else around you is going to be fine. But you got to fix you. And I asked the following question. I said, here's a question for you. I said, what's the most money you've ever made in a year? Don't say it publicly. Just think about that number. What is the most money you ever made in a year? Then I said, go back 10 years ago. How much has that income changed and why? Why? Why has that income not changed that much? If 10 years ago you were making $16 an hour, 10 years later you're making $16 an hour, why is that? Why is your market, you know, value in the marketplace the same thing? Is it everybody's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it your boss's fault, your parents' fault, your kids' fault, your spouse's fault, or your fault? Everything here comes back to you. And it's so hard to do, but you got to face the truth. You ain't going to make $1 million your income. You don't face the truth and realize the issue's right here. And the last item to cover over here, to my left, to your right, is guaranteed formula for success. If you notice, it's got a little bit of green in it, and it's got a little bit of red in it, because it's a combination of emotion and logic. It's the four things I always talk about. My guaranteed formula for success that is 100% proven for my life and other people I've taught. Outwork, outimprove, outlast, and outstrategize. Again, outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. What you're looking on the screen here, on the screen, look at those four again. What you're looking on the screen here, which of those four things that you're looking at, the outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize, which of those four things do you think comes last? Meaning you'll learn the latest. It's outstrategize. Why? Because that requires a lot of experience. It's like you got to go through like a general in a war, right? You got to go through so many different wars to learn different strategies and what works and what tactics work and what doesn't work. That's something you got to be working on, right? However, the other three, outwork. If a guy works 80 hours a week and you work 40 hours a week, you can't compete with that guy. If you yourself are reading 2, 3, 4 books a month and you're developing your mind and your competitor is not, and he only reads one or two, and you study in industry articles and all this stuff, and they're not, you know, you're studying how to recruit CEOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs, what is the best way to stretch this $1 million investment that I got to make this happen? Who should I talk to be part of a group for mentors and CEOs group and all these? Who should I network with? What community should I be a part of? Who's the best engineers, IT firm to hire? What are these competitors doing? What are some of the guys that are not even in my market? If you start studying those industries, somebody else isn't. It's tough to compete with you. And then outlast. Some people work 80 hours a week for a year, and that's great. But they can't work 80 hours a week for 3 years. Some work 80 hours a week for 3 years. But you work 80 hours a week for 5 years. You outlasted the guy that did 3 years or 1 year. They can't compete with you because the compounding effort favors you. So these four things that you look at on the screen require one thing, and that's discipline. And the discipline part, you don't hear a lot about. That's the things people do when nobody else sees. That's when you win. Again, there's a part of this that's logical. There's a part of this that's emotional. Well, let me get to the last part here and wrap up the session here. So you got all these different things. Imagine this part here with you and I talking. Think about it this way. What if you, at the end of this video, what if you, watching this, you said, it makes sense. I'm going to apply some of this stuff, okay? I'm going to sit down and figure out my math. I'm going to do it, okay? And I'm going to sit down and question my beliefs. I'm going to sit down and talk about the future truth. I'm going to find a big lie and say it over and over and over again. By the way, I want you to tweet me your big lie on Twitter, at Patrick Bay David. Tweet me your big lie. And my favorite lie, I'm going to retweet a few of them. You tweet me your biggest lie, at Patrick Bay David. What is your big lie? What is your future truth? You start working on your perspective, making a big small. You start questioning everything, challenging your thinking. You face the truth. You make a game plan to outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. You start making $1 million your income. And you become one of those 500,000 people in America that make $1 million your income. You may be in another different country and you make $1 million your income because principles are evergreen in all the countries outside of communism and socialism. What if you apply those concepts and you started improving? What if you did that? What would happen to you? What happens if you make $1 million your income? Are you better for your family? Are you better for your community? Are you better for your parents, your friends, your kids? Are you better for society? Are you better for your friends? Are you better for everybody? More importantly, are you better for you? Do you have better doctors for you? Do you live in a better community? Do you give more money to charity? Do you give more money to communities? Do you feel better about yourself? Do you wake up in the morning and once you figure out this entire formula, do you really think you can go back to being a regular person like you used to be? Do you really think you can go back and take up some of your bad habits if you make this thing a consistent thing? Now, it's easy to go back and being bad, but don't you think you're going to start living a whole different life? Is it not worth it to make a decision to do this? You see, the reality is of everybody watching this, maybe 1% of you is actually going to apply the things we talk. Maybe 1% of everybody watching is going to apply the stuff that we're talking about. Most people are just going to go boom, boom. They skipped. You went back to work or you went back to a whole different thing. And you'll say, I'm going to get back to this later on today and put a reminder. And you forget about it like everybody else does. A few of you are going to watch this and you're going to say, stop everything. I'm taking a break. Hey, I need a break. 20-minute break, 30-minute break. Go grab it because your emotions are high. Start writing. Start asking. Write this whole formula. We're going to have a PDF below for you to get and start writing all this stuff. If that's you, I've got two other videos for you to watch. One, 11 Skills of a Millionaire, 11 Skills Millionaires Master. You got to watch this one. And another one is how to really become a millionaire. Not how to make $1 million your income, how to really become a millionaire. You need to watch how to really become a millionaire, and you need to watch 11 Skills Every Millionaire Masters. You do those things and go through the PDF.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with, usually, if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the...
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking car off business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.